Well, good morning, everyone. This morning we start a short series looking at the second epistle of Peter. It almost seems that that second Peter was written for us today. Every word of it is so pertinent, so contemporary, so filled with practical advice for the day in which we find ourselves, that it is indeed confirmation of the freshness and the vitality of the Word of God, which never ever gets out of date. It also suggests that perhaps the cycle has come full circle, that we are now living in days very similar indeed to those in the first century, and that the conditions we're facing in our world today are almost the same in kind, if not in expanse, as the conditions that were faced when Peter wrote this letter. There is a considerable difference, however, between Peter's two letters that we find in the New Testament. The first one was full of rejoicing hope in the face of suffering. But the theme of this second letter is that of faithful truth in the face of falsehood. How to detect error, how to live in the midst of deceit. How to distinguish between right and wrong when wrong is subtly alluring and deceptive. And in the world of fake news and falsehoods, 2 Peter is for our time. But first let me give you just a very brief outline of this letter. It falls into three chapters, each of which strikes a different note. In the first chapter, the apostle is giving his readers a word of exhortation on what the Christian life is all about. And in the second chapter, he gives a word of warning on how to recognise and handle false teachers. And in the third chapter, he gives us a word of certainty about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the facts that underlie our faith. It's a very simple outline. It's a very practical letter, as you might expect coming from such a practical, hard-headed Christian as Peter. But before we get into our passage today, let me share with you a story about a man who got a job as an usher at a cinema. He was walking up the aisle before the film was about to start, when he came across a man lying over four seats. And so the usher went over to the man and said, "Sir, you need to sit up and only take one seat." But the man just lay there. So the usher said, "Excuse me, sir, you really need to sit up, and if you don't, I will get the manager." But the man still didn't move. He just lay there. So the usher got the manager, and the manager said, "Excuse me, sir, would you please get up and use only one seat? We need these seats for paying customers." But still the man didn't move. So the manager said, "Okay, if you don't move, I'm going to phone for the police." But the man still didn't move. So the manager got the police, and the policeman said, "Sir, what is your name?" And the man replied, "Tommy." And the policeman said, "And where do you come from, Tommy?" And the man said, "The balcony." And the moral of the story is, if people don't move, it's probably because there's something wrong. Or let me put it this way, if Christians don't grow, there is definitely something wrong. Have you ever wondered what it means to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Can we as Christians be absolutely certain that we're growing in our faith? And why is it so important for Peter to urge his readers and us today to grow in our faith? Well, thankfully, Peter's going to give us the answers to those questions. And the first thing he's going to tell us is that growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ involves the development of eight graces or qualities. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says this: "For this very reason, Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Peter mentions faith, goodness. He mentions knowledge, self-control and perseverance. He mentions godliness, brotherly affection and love. And now look at what he says in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says we need to abound in these 8 graces if we want to continue to grow. And Peter is talking about something which is more than simply increasing our intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's talking about growing in a full and personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. There was a newspaper article some years ago about a famous preacher. And in the article, the newspaper likened him to some of the apostles, which I guess would be a huge compliment for some, but not for this preacher. And so he wrote to the newspaper and said, I don't want to be compared to the Apostle Paul, or indeed any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only. I want to copy his teachings. I want to drink in his spirit and place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be more like Christ. You see, Peter doesn't want us just to know about Jesus. He wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to sound like Jesus. He wants us to speak like Jesus. He wants us to think like Jesus. And so I say to you this morning, if you want to be like Jesus, have faith like Jesus had. Have the knowledge that Jesus had. Have the self-control like Jesus had. Have the patience and perseverance like Jesus had. Have the godliness, brotherly affection and love like Jesus had. In other words, these qualities will help you to be Christ-like. You know, over the years I've known some people who have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, but their lives are far from reflecting that knowledge. They can name all the books of the Bible and be able to quote chapter and verse, but that knowledge means nothing if it isn't reflected in your life. You see, the more we grow in these graces as Christians, the more we will really know Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect personification of these graces. Now, we're only a few verses into 2 Peter, and he has used the word knowledge 5 times already. Indeed, he uses the word 14 times throughout this second letter. And the word knowledge is the Greek word epignosis, which means to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, and to know well. And Peter says this knowledge can only come about when we demonstrate these 8 graces in our lives. And please don't think this is simply a case of getting up in the morning and thinking, okay, I need to work on my knowledge today, or I'm going to work on my patience today. Peter says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add. And for us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that all these 8 graces need to be working together. What Peter is saying here when he uses the word, or the words and to, is that when each grace is working in harmony with the others, this will produce the overall effect. He's saying that each grace is to blend with and make perfect the grace that goes before it. Let me show you what I mean. Peter says, to knowledge add self-control. And what he's saying is that the grace of self-control enables us to apply properly the knowledge that we have. And when he says to self-control add perseverance, he's saying self-control in turn needs the quality of perseverance to be consistent day after day. In other words, we can't just work in our brotherly affection one day and then work in our love the next. Each grace must be developed in conjunction with each other. And make no mistake about it, this takes effort on our part. We need to earnestly strive to grow. Yes, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and one of his roles is to help us become more Christ-like. But growing is not going to happen on its own. You have to work with the Holy Spirit to help you grow. Because if we don't put any effort into our growing, then we can't grow into the fully mature Christian which God wants us to become. There was a woman who had been a school teacher for 25 years. And when she heard about a job that would mean a promotion, she applied for the position. However, someone who had been teaching for only 1 year was appointed instead. And so she went to the principal and asked why. The principal responded, "I'm sorry, but you have not had 25 years of experience as you claim. You've had only 1 year's experience 25 times. Because during that whole time, the teacher had not improved. There are many Christians today who suffer from what I would call the Peter Pan syndrome. You know, the little boy who said, "I don't want to grow up." There are many Christians who have been Christians for many years, but they haven't grown. There are many Christians today, like the little boy, who had his first night in a big bed after 3 years in a cot, and he got in. And in the middle of the night, his mum and dad heard him cry, and when they went through, the little boy was lying on the floor, rubbing his head, and his parents said, "What happened?" And the little boy said, "I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." And what Peter is telling us is that unless we continue to grow, we are simply repeating the first year of our Christian lives over and over again. We've stayed too close to where we got in. And just in case you're wondering if all that effort is worth it, Peter goes on to give us some reasons as to why we should continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In verse 9 he says, "But whoever does not have these qualities or graces is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." You see, we all became Christians because we knew that we had a sin problem which needed to be dealt with. And so we come to Jesus to have those sins forgiven. But what are we supposed to do after that? As Christians, what are we supposed to do next? Well, we're supposed to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Peter is telling his readers and us this morning that unless we grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and so become more Christ-like, we could end up with spiritual amnesia. Peter says, if you're not growing, you're blind and short-sighted. What is a Christian's ultimate reason for being a Christian? Is it just to go to church? Is it just to get together with other Christians who believe the same thing? What is God's purpose for you being a Christian today? Paul tells us, first of all, in Romans chapter 8 when he says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." And what Paul is saying is that the goal and ultimate aim for you being a Christian is to become like Jesus Christ himself. Which is exactly what Peter means when he says we need to grow in the knowledge of Christ. You see, when we don't grow, we forget. We forget why we were redeemed in the first place. Yes, we're Christians because we want our sins forgiven. But we should be striving to present ourselves to God and become what he wants us to become, which is in the likeness of his Son, Jesus. So not only will we end up with spiritual amnesia if we don't grow, we could end up losing our salvation if we don't grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter says in verse 10, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." And the word stumble, or fail as some translations have it, means to fall into misery or loss of salvation. Now please don't misunderstand what Peter is saying here. He's not saying that Christians will never fail in terms of sinning. We all sin and fall short of God's standards every day. But what Peter is saying is that if we are continuing to grow, the less chance there will be of us falling from grace and losing our salvation. And for us to do that, we need to be diligent. We need to be earnestly trying to grow. And so the effort that we make to grow in our knowledge of Jesus will be worth it. Because Peter says in verse 11, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." So Peter says, grow. Christian, grow. Heaven awaits your arrival. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? I love the story of a little girl who was taking an evening walk with her father. And wonderingly, she looked up at the stars and exclaimed, "Oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be?" And so when we possess those eight graces or qualities, when we grow in them and develop them into our lives, we will be able to live victoriously in this life and with great joy look forward to what lies ahead. So can I encourage you this morning? Keep reading your Bibles. Let me encourage you to grow so that others will see Jesus in your life. Let me encourage you to continue to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to leave you with the lyrics of a song sung by Amy Grant. It's called Fat Baby. And I think you'll get the point after I have read the lyrics to you. I know a man, maybe you know him too. You never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar and that was the end. He's saved and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week he gets his spiritual lunch. On Sunday he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle, and he doesn't mean maybe. He's sampled solid food once or twice, but he says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's been baptized, sanctified, redeemed by the blood, but he says his daily devotions are down in the mud. He knows the books of the Bible and John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you've ever seen. I've always wondered if he'll grow up someday. He's mummy's boy, and he likes it that way. And so, if you happen to see him, tell him I said, he'll never grow if he never gets fed. He's just a fat little baby. He's just a fat little boy. So I say to you this morning, grow. Grow in your faith. Become more Christ-like and become the Christian that God wants you to be. Amen.